I'm working with a whole new group of people. Eli and Cassara. I'm Hannah Stanley, filling in today for Frank Fontana. My point being, they don't know that I chair dance. So this is going to be interesting because I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to chair dance in front of people.
I fully support it.
Thank you. I mean, are you kidding me? You put the JT on? Come on. I got a chair dance to the JT. I'm not afraid to dance in front of anybody, including Keith Herrick, who is the manager of NATO. Like, sounds like Play-Doh, but it's NATO.
Right.
There you go. Now you're on. NATO, you have some beautiful pieces that you brought in.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I'm surprised, but they're so great for, like you said, college or beyond, which allows kids, parents to make an investment in some items, maybe not for the dorm, depends, but definitely for that college apartment.
And even for the dorm, the pieces I brought in and some of the things that I've got, they're very, very good uses of space. A lot of things with small footprints for dorms.
So you can make it your own.
Yeah, you can make it your own. A lot of things that lean against a wall where you don't have to hang anything.
Oh.
And there are other good solutions out there for hanging things on dorm walls, too, that don't actually cause any destruction. So we also brought some chalkboards and mirrors and things like that can be hung, and there are some solutions for that.
Well, and that's always the thing. You said destruction, and that was, I think, my biggest stressor. It wasn't the exams. It wasn't the papers. It was getting my deposit back at the end of the year.
Right.
Because of all the thumbtack holes and
right.
stuff. And now they don't have to worry about that as much because they have those 3M command hooks.
Yeah, it just solves everything.
It does. And you can hang some of these items with those if you so chose. By the way, toothpaste does not work as well as you would want it to for plugging those holes. Just
no.
Buy some spackle. Not that much money. Durability is so important because so frequently we buy things at, you know, the dollar store, like, oh, good, I can get these little baskets or something for organization. But some of these items, I would still have this green table that's yeah. sitting here. If you want to look, you can see a couple of things. Let me tell you how to get in touch with the show. Our phone number is the same as our text number, 312-981-7200. If you have any questions for Keith, you can either text those in or give us a call. We're taking those all throughout the show. But you can also watch us live, which is at WGNRadio.com. There's a little button that says watch live. And then you can see all of these great items that you have. I'm going to take some video of this later and post it on my Facebook page, which you can find me at that, Hannah Stanley. It's that easy. And you guys have a Facebook page, too, which is NATO Chicago.
NATO Chicago.
Easy. And I will spell it NADEAU Chicago.
Perfect.
Is that the French spelling?
That's the surname of the gentleman who started the company, Tom Nadeau. So
I'll pretend he's French. I don't know. So Tom Nadeau, it is Nadeau Chicago. And some of these items I'm assuming will be focused on at least on your website, or they can find them as well.
Yeah, our website's very, very extensive. There are thousands of products on there.
So talk to me about what kind of an investment some of these items that you're displaying or what people could sort of expect to personalize that room for.
Well, essentially what we do is we offer enough value where, I mean, these pieces are not a large financial investment at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're looking at a desk right there that's 4 feet wide. It's made out of solid mango wood. Every shred of it is solid wood, and it's $221. It's not an expensive investment at all.
No.
And some of the stools that you're looking at over there, all of those, both of those over there are under $100. They're both useful for side tables or stools. Mm-hmm. The one on the left, the industrial one, is really cool. It kind of cranks up and down. It's
very, I love
very
it.
Unique design.
Yes.
And it's under $100. It's made out of real materials. These are things you're going to keep forever.
And it would be great for additional seating.
Oh, yeah.
Friends come over. That was the biggest thing. Everybody had to sit on the bed because we had nowhere else to
right.
sit.
Extra seating, side tables. Versatility is the number one thing when you buy a furniture, is because it's, you know, especially furniture that lasts forever, you want it to be able to go in any room.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, buy something that you're really in love with, something you're really drawn to, something you're going to want to keep forever, and make sure it's versatile.
Now, for those who are fixer-upper fans,
yeah.
this has got that shabby chic Joanna Gaines fixer-upper feel to it.
Totally.
all of these items.
Yeah, well, it's all handmade. What Nadeau does is we import direct pieces from overseas. These are all pieces that are made by hand. So they all have a feel to them, mm-hmm. you know, not like a big box store, like a mass-produced item. You can tell that every piece was kind of lovingly made out of genuine materials, and it's a little bit of a different feel. If you walk into our store, it's not like walking into a regular store. You're walking into a warehouse full of handmade furniture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, really unique experience.
Have you seen an increase in people trying to live more minimalistic? Because of kind of the tiny house movement, or really just sort of the expense that a lot of the millennials are coming in to the workforce, and they're like, we don't need all of this. I don't need a big armoire.
Right. So big armoires are out. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that are in now are like a very small footprinted items that are like 2 feet wide but hold a lot of stuff. And
okay.
It's, you know, storage. Closed storage, where people are buying things that they can put a lot of
things
away.
So we don't see the clutter.
So yeah, you don't see the clutter. Yeah.
That's my biggest issue.
Yeah.
I don't have enough places to hide clutter.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get rid of it.
Yeah.
That's the newest thing. One of the things I remember most about my college items, and now for my freshman year, we had to live in the dorm, and I didn't really have a lot of room to do much, right? There was just, here was your desk and your bed, and I spent days looking for extra long sheets. But once I moved into an apartment, then it was that decision, do I invest in something? Or do I buy something that's essentially disposable, but just gets the job done?
Right.
Everybody had that. I didn't. But that, remember those industrial wire reels that everybody makes into a coffee table?
Mm-hmm.
You know
yeah.
what I'm talking about? Okay. Those, I can't remember the hundreds of those that I've stubbed my toe on.
Right.
But that was sort of the thing where it's like, well, we can just repurpose this and throw a tablecloth on it and nobody will know. People knew.
Yeah.
People knew. These are items that you don't have to necessarily invest in, but it's an investment piece.
Right. Yeah. They're long-lasting pieces. They're investment pieces. They're pieces that will last forever. And it's, they're, you know, the prices, if you look at what we have, they're very, very comparable to throwaway pieces.
Right.
I mean, you know, there are a lot of, I mean, like that chair right there is $113. It's a pretty
I'm obsessed
outstanding.
With that
yeah.
chair.
It's an absolutely gorgeous chair. And then, you know, anywhere else it would be well over 200. And that's a piece that you're going to keep forever.
I'm trying to say this politely. It would put you in mind the silhouette. It's a little bit smaller than a Papasan chair.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of serves that same purpose, where it's just sort of, you can put it there. Everybody can sit on it.
Right.
But this is beautiful.
Right. It's very comfortable. It's kind of mod looking. It has a really neat design.
Yes.
And it's really a soft, comfortable chair. And it's easy to transport. It's not a heavy thing. And if you want to move it from one side of the room to the other, it's great. And it's made out of iron, too. So it's very, very, it'll last forever.
I'm not going to say it was light because you didn't struggle bringing it in, but I could tell that there was some heft to it.
Yeah, everything that we have has some mass to it. I'm just used to, for 10 years of moving furniture around a warehouse, I'm pretty adept at it.
All right, Keith Herrick joins me from Nadeau Furniture. And again, their website, I will tell you, is Nadeau Chicago, NadeauChicago.com. And on Facebook, they're at Nadeau Chicago as well. I will post a link on my Facebook page, which is that Hannah Stanley. Sorry, I let the groove take me over. Hannah Stanley filling in today for Frank Fontana. This is the Frank Fontana Show. I am very happy to be with you. And if you want to join us, you can do that two ways. 312-981-7200 is our phone number and also our text number. I'll say it again, 312-981-7200. You can also click on the Watch Live button at WGNRadio.com. And what that is going to do is not only let you see me chair dancing when we go into breaks or come out of breaks, but you're also going to be able to see the beautiful furniture that is in studio from Nadeau Furniture. Where are you guys located? Keith Herrick is with me, by the way, from Nadeau Furniture.
Hi, we're at 4433 North Ravenswood Avenue. It's in the Ravenswood Corridor.
not as hard to get as people would imagine. Get to.
No, it's super easy.
And yeah, there's parking up there.
It's actually, there's ample street parking, but if it ever runs out, we have a parking lot. It's real easy to get into.
Yeah, people sometimes get a little nervous of city locations.
Absolutely.
But that's great.
It's easy to get
Ravenswood
in.
Ravenswood is not scary for parking, for driving. It's it's an easy location. So this is, how big is your store?
It's 10,000 square feet.
That is worth the drive.
It is. It's worth the drive, and it's not even just 10,000 square feet as like a normal furniture store. We stack it. We're two and three high in there. So there's a lot of furniture. Right now we have 1,800 pieces of furniture in our store. And
that's very worth the drive.
Every one of them is different. It's pretty amazing experience as soon as you walk into our store.
Now, you've mentioned that some of these items, you told me off air, I believe, and maybe on air, that chair that I'm raving over, I guess you would call it kind of, it's not woven, it's kind of a strung chair.
Yeah, it's a strung material over a
steel frame.
Frame, yeah.
I'm obsessed with that chair.
Yeah, the problem with our store is things sell insanely quickly.
That's what I was going to get to.
We just got these chairs in. We got six of these chairs. We sold five of them within just a few hours, and I had to hide this to bring it in, so otherwise it would be sold by now.
It might not go home with you.
Yeah.
It is a very, very comfortable chair. I am surprised. I thought it was going to be kind of a cushy with a little stretch.
Yeah.
Like maybe a bungee. That's not it. It's very firm. It's super solid. It doesn't feel like a $100 piece of furniture.
Right. And so you experience what most of our customers experience. They walk in and they fall in love with the piece. That's just what happens.
I'm obsessed with it. I'm already asking you about a variety of colors.
Right.
It's just the one. But it's one of those places, I'm assuming, that you sort of need to go to frequently, because once it's in, and then it goes.
Yeah, we get containers from overseas. Each container has 200 or 300 pieces on it. We get that 4 times a month, so our turnover is about 1,000 pieces a month. So yeah, what you see today, not only will it be gone tomorrow, it'll be replaced by something that's just as spectacular, just be completely different.
So you want to go? If I were an interior designer, this would be a place I would love.
Yeah,
because it's going to be unique pieces.
We're just celebrating our 25th anniversary now, and that our whole life, I mean, prior to the past 10 years of being open to the public, has been in the wholesale industry. So we were catering only to designers and stores. 10 years ago, we made a decision to open to the public, and now we're retailers. But we left the prices at wholesale, which is what makes it interesting.
It makes it accessible
to everyone.
Yes. Yeah. The pieces that I've been talking about, the chair that I'm sitting in, not currently, I should have pulled it over. But it is $114.
$113? Yeah.
Remarkable.
Yeah.
Remarkable. As you've mentioned, if you're watching us on the Watch Live button on the webcam, that green table is fantastic, and it's what, 200?
Yeah, 220? It's 231, I believe. It's solid wood. Every shred of it is solid wood. It has two nice storage drawers in it. It's a desk today. It's a console table tomorrow. It's an entryway table the next day. It's just whatever you want it to be. Versatile piece and just as solid as it gets.
Storage would be probably the biggest, aside from occasional seating in dorm rooms, because you've got the space you've got is the space you've got.
Right.
So having pieces that can pull double duty as seating, but also things where you can stash things.
Yeah, very often if you walk in, your best when you approach moving into a dorm is to kind of scope out your storage options, see what's available in there. Very often it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you'll find that a lot of lockers would work nice, like industrial lockers that you can buy at various places. We have some things like that. And a lot of tall, narrow cabinets, like we were talking earlier, very good for uses of space, but holy smokes, can you put a lot of things into them?
That makes such a big difference.
Yeah.
Because I feel like all colleges should have, like, trundle beds where you can just pull things out, but they don't.
It's not just purely storage, too. You do want to create an environment that you want to hang out in. You're going to be doing a fair amount of studying, or at least you should be.
Mm-hmm.
And,
conceivably.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
So you want to create an environment where it's inviting. We have a lot of things in there that are kind of brightly colored, kind of makes you want to spend some time with the furniture and in your space. I mean, all of our pieces are very inviting. So,
the brightly colored, talk to me about what those trends are as far as decor for now and over the next couple of years.
I think the classic is just white. Mm. Everybody does. I mean, white furniture will always look great in every space. So that's what most people, that's kind of the base color. But we're seeing a lot of really nice greens, a lot of really nice yellows, some teals, some real light blues, some pops of color here and there. A lot of really, you know, warm and bright colors.
I'm seeing some natural wood, too, which is a super neutral that you can put with a variety of decor.
Right.
You can make that very rustic. You can put it in something very chic and just have that be a little a pop of rusticness.
Yeah.
This is really, really good multifunctional furniture. And that green is very... I love the green table, but it's a unique green. It's not something I would ever go, paint it that color. But I love it.
No, it's a great color. And it's, you know, as you explore our warehouse, you will find so many different colors. Your eye will get drawn in so many different directions that if that green doesn't work, you'll be drawn to something that's, you know, equally colorful and awesome for your space.
Now, Frank Fontana is the interior designer.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you right now, green is much of a neutral. Because if you think about the flowers, they all have green stems, they're in the grass, they have the leaves, they work with every color. Green is such a neutral.
It actually, the color of the year, the Pantone color of the year is called greenery.
Yes, it is.
It is an absolutely very similar to that color of green, but it's a neutral or a pop of color. That's what makes it interesting.
I love Pantone.
Yeah.
Pantone, if you're not familiar with Pantone, and listeners probably would be of Frank's show, but Pantone is kind of... the Bible of color, and they have, it's the Pantone matching system.
Yeah.
They were the people who originated the fact that you could actually figure out exactly how much blue and yellow and this put together in one color and that, so that marketing people and designers can always have that right color.
Right. Yeah, you need to start with a color palette, figure out what colors are complementary to one another and play off that.
It's really fascinating stuff. Again, let's go through this. Your Facebook page is NATO Chicago. Sounds like Play-Doh.
Yeah.
NATO. It is spelled NADEAU Chicago. And that's their Facebook page, NATO Chicago. Or you can go to the website, which is NATOChicago.com.
Well, NATOChicago.com takes you right into our new arrivals section, but our main website is called FurnitureWithASoul.com. It's S-O-U-L.
That's easier.
Yeah, and it's in, and we have 34 stores around the country, and so you can see all of our inventory is different from location to location, because we're not like a big box store that kind of just churns out the same thing over and over. So it all has a different feel at a different time. So you'll want to kind of take a look at your local store. We're just opening one. I know you have some listeners in Detroit area.
Sure.
We just opened one in Detroit. We're real excited about it. It's right at 14 Mile and Woodward. So we're happy about that.
Nice. That's fantastic. How many stores nationwide? 37?
34 right
34?
Now.
34?
Yeah. Pittsburgh and the one that we just opened in Detroit are the two newest.
Wow. This is wherever you are listening. If you're listening to the podcast, I'm sure you can find one close, and it is furniturewithasoul.com.
That's it.
Keith Herrick, thank you so much for joining me and for bringing in these amazing pieces. And
thank
then I'm
going
to maybe write you a check during the break. Okay.
Thank you. So nice to meet you.
You as well. Stanley here with you today, again, filling in for Frank Fontana. I will be with you until 3 p.m. And then the boys from the beat get to come in, talk sports with you. It's been a very interesting couple of days since the All-Star break. The Cubs are on a roll. The White Sox are not. So many things seem to be normal in the world for Chicago fans. I'm so excited for the Hawks. Right now, we have, we're taking a break from college talk and college decor talk to talk business insurance, which is not something I've really talked about, which is, I'm very excited to learn more about it. Michael Muir joins me from the Pat Muir Agency. You are a certified work comp advisor, but also insurance and financial specialist. So welcome.
Thank you.
Have you been here before?
I have not.
I'm thrilled to welcome you.
It's wonderful to be here.
It is. It's a neat place, isn't it?
Absolutely.
This is something, as I mentioned to you briefly off air, and as I just said, I am not super familiar. This has never been a segment of business that I've worked in. Mm-hmm. And so I am going to ask you some questions that hopefully can learn me, but also the audience, the listeners as well, so that we can all learn more about it. Workman's comp insurance, we know it exists. What are things we need to know?
So workers' comp, you know, people have gone out, the traditional way of buying workers' comp is, you know, the business owners goes out, they get three quotes, you know, they pick whatever the lowest price is, and they think that's where you have to buy it, where in reality, you know, you're going to buy, I'm sorry.
Don't worry.
In reality, you know, the way you go out, you know, the agents go out, they call three brokers, they go out, they buy the, you know, they look at what they have, they quote what they have, and they pray they win the business. So the way we do it, it's more of a proactive way where we can actually, you know, develop a blueprint to drive the mod down.
Okay. And the mod would be, is it modular?
So it's the NCC experience mod. So okay. Every company, for the most part, has one, and that pretty much determines what the pricing is going to be.
All right. And then with workman's comp, would different industries and different types of businesses have higher risk for this?
That's correct. So the construction industry would have a higher
risk than this.
Yeah, they'd have a higher rate than, you know, a
radio station.
Correct.
It's rare that we would get injured here. I mean, I suppose I could strain a vocal cord.
It could happen. Really,
it's not bloody likely. So when you have higher risk industries, are they kind of underwritten, or how does that work as far as categories to know what that risk would be?
Sure. So there's a different classification for each business. So what we do is, you know, again, if you're the traditional way of buying, you know, someone would go out and just copy whatever the classification was that they currently have, where we kind of do a deep dive into it and really nail down the best classification for the business to make sure they're not overpaying for coverage.
All right, because that is a huge risk, as it would be with any type of insurance. You don't want to overpay for coverage you don't need, or overpay even for the coverage you do need.
That's correct.
You want to make sure that that's honed in, most bang for your buck.
So the classification is just one of it. Then there's the audit. 75% of the audits are incorrect. So the audit is basically at the end of the policy term. The carrier comes in and they kind of look at your payroll. They want 941s. And that really determines what your total cost of insurance is for the year.
Okay. So 75% is wrong. How do we know?
So the reason why it's wrong, it's not due to the carrier. It's actually due to the agent and the business owner not preparing for the audit. So, you know, we look at it as, you know, we can make sure that the audit's going to be, you know, 100% correct. It's going to be 100%, you know, where you're not going to be overpaying for coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we look at it as if a company was going to have an IRS audit, you know, they're probably going to sit down and prepare with their CPA to make sure that it's correct.
Mm-hmm.
We treat it the same way. So we're going to make sure that there's no overcharges, you know, that there's no misclassifications, which result in time and money for the business. And obviously, you know, if they're caught up dealing with an audit, they miss out on some business opportunities.
All right. So when you're preparing for an IRS audit, let's say, you do put time in prepping and making sure your documents are in order. And what you're suggesting is doing that same type of prep, because this could cost you money, much like an IRS audit could cost you money if you don't have a document to prove a receipt or whatever.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is something that if you don't have the appropriate documents or documentation, which is a little bit nuanced there, this could end up costing you money monthly or yearly or term.
That's correct. So it's going to cost you time and money in reality. And it's a headache that people don't want to deal with.
Right.
So we make sure we, you know, are 100% dummy-proof. Audit system works.
So the time that you're going to invest will earn you that money back.
That is correct.
Prepping for this.
Prepping for the audit, it prevents the overcharges and the errors.
Mm-hmm.
And and essentially you don't have to worry about, you know, anything other than the audit, and that's it.
Okay. So when people are looking into workman's comp, who needs to provide this? I would assume, let's say, a lawyer's office, as you said, wouldn't necessarily need workman's comp insurance.
Well, everyone needs workers' comp insurance. If you have an employee, a part-time employee, if you hire a subcontractor, workers' comp insurance is mandatory to have in the state of Illinois.
Okay.
And most states.
All right. So even if you only have one employee?
I'm sorry?
Even if you only have one employee?
That is correct.
Really? Yeah.
And it's heavy fines if you are caught without workers' comp insurance.
Just in case?
Just in case.
Okay.
And, you know, not to mention the business could be in jeopardy of taking on a huge financial risk.
If someone is, yeah, in fact, someone, injured.
Correct.
And I don't even know how to phrase this, but if we were to have, let's say, a low-risk industry, what are kind of the ballparks for a person who's going to hire a sub, like you said, a subcontractor for a lawyer's office? I think that's a great example.
Well, I mean, that rate would be extremely low.
Yeah.
And the odds of, usually you don't see too many work comp claims in an attorney's office.
But one of the facts that I was provided is that the average lost time claim nationwide is $53,000.
That is correct. So that's all losses combined nationwide. It is $53,000.
That's a pretty high average.
It's a very high average. And, you know, one thing that we also do that to prevent that from happening is, you know, really focusing on our return to work program or recovery at work program.
Mm-hmm.
And also working with our strategic partners, you know, we have Vista Safety Consulting who we work closely with.
Okay.
To make sure that we prevent, you know, indemnity paying out.
I can tell you, we have, when I've been to broadcasts that we've done, remote broadcasts, you should see our cords taped over. Man, nobody trips at our broadcasts.
Yeah, no, we probably wouldn't want to see that.
We are, it's very funny because I'm so aware of how protective they are of our cords and our wires and everything. It's very tidy.
Oh yeah.
Very tidy.
I bet.
So people need to be focused when they're looking for workman's comp insurance or for new, workman's comp insurance. They need to focus on what's covered and really what that, policy offers as far as back to work, therapy, or preventative type measures. These are things that can be offered. You just have to find the right carrier.
Well, it's not so much finding the right carrier. It's finding the right broker. Again, there's a lot of brokers out there selling workers' comp insurance, and they have no clue really the ins and outs of how a workers' comp program should be managed.
Mm-hmm.
And I come across it all the time out in the field where, you know, they say, well, my employee got injured. It is what it is. That's how it works. And in reality, it's not. Because workers' comp carriers, they don't pay for claims. They finance them at an extremely high rate. So what the business owner needs to understand is that you're paying for it regardless. So let's spend a little money up front, mm-hmm, and get the recovery at work program and all the controls in place to make sure that we're not paying for it in the long run.
This is really fascinating and a whole bunch of stuff I had never thought about before. I'm so glad I've gotten to talk with you. I'm sure listeners are happy to know this as well. PatMuir.com is the website. Michael Muir has been my guest for this segment, and the website is www.patmuir. It's .patmuir.com. Just in case, www.patmuir.com. That's how they can get a hold of you and the people at your office and have you consult on their workman's comp.
Absolutely.
Michael Muir is in studio with us, and his son Mikey is here as well, and he's being so good. And I bet, Mikey, have you ever been to a radio station before? Is this pretty cool? It's pretty awesome. Are you going to work for your dad someday? Yeah.
He already has an office.
You. That's good.
He's in there weekly.
Do you understand workman's comp?
No.
Not yet. Neither do I. But I'm getting there, and I hope that this interview was informative. So if people – tell me about the fines if people out of the blue don't have workman's comp.
So it's – you know, in the past, you know, I'll pick on general contractors.
Do it.
They would always – you know, say I'm 1099-ing everyone, they're my subcontractor. So, you know, the state cracked down after that. So the fines are, you know, up to, it could be $1,000 per day from the date of hire.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also go after the business owner personally, so there's no corporate protection for the most part in the workers' comp world.
Really?
So, yep, there's...
So even if you do like an S-Corp, you still have to have all that?
Yeah, on the workers' comp side, you know, there's not a lot of protection there. There's the negligence on the employer side, so they're going to come at you every way possible.
All right, so if we do a general contractor and they can't say that their subs have to have their own workman's comp. They if they work into my job site, I have to have each of them covered.
No, that's as long as they have workers' comp coverage
on themselves.
But then that opens up a whole new can of worms because then the contract comes into play. In the contract, basically, you know, you want to make sure that your upstream, as they call it, is a GC. So if anything happens on the job site, the subcontractor is you know, not suing you.
I got to tell you, there's a lot to this.
There's a lot to it. Again, that's why we, you know, we have our strategic partners who handle the contract reviews for us, loss control, and then, you know, I work very closely with everyone.
All right. So if I hire someone to come and install something at my house, I don't have to worry about that because the install company should have that, right?
Not true. So, if, yeah, even if the homeowners, you're going to want to make sure that, you know, a lot of homeowners, again, they just assume that they have insurance or they don't have to worry about it. But if that subcontractor or contractor comes in the house without insurance, they could technically sue you.
I have got to go home and review this. This is a little bit scary, but I'm super glad I learned this. Now we are done talking with Michael Muir. His website is www.patmuir.com, P-A-T-M as in Mary, U-I-R.com.